I think some of you that were in Sunday school are still here. Good evening. Okay, we did a lot better. We're going to be in the book of 2 Kings this evening. 2 Kings chapter 2. All right, give you just another second to find that. 2 Kings chapter number 2. We're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 15. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. I want you to pay attention to this next verse, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Now remember what Elisha had just seen. The Jordan River split in two and they walked across on dry ground. And Elijah says at that juncture, he says, ask what you would have me to do for you. And here's Elisha's response. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. I wonder what they talked about. Don't know. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho, these are the guys that were hanging back, just watching, when they saw him, they said, the Lord, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Lord, we're thankful for this night. I pray that you would use your word to speak to these people that are gathered tonight. I pray that you would speak through me to them. I pray that you'd help us to get a hold of the truth that we're going to look at this evening. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For anyone that has children, whether they are children of your own, whether they're not your own children, you've probably heard these words before. Can I have more? How many of you have heard that at least once? I want more. Can I have more? Now, in my house, you may not believe me, but when my kids ask for more, at least one or two of them, they're asking for more vegetables. They're asking for more salad. They're asking for something healthy, and they didn't get that from me. But most of the time, when you hear a kid asking for more, what are they asking for? I want more cake. I want more candy. I want more ice cream. We generally don't ask for more of something that's actually good for us, do we? What would happen if we got a hold of this idea of I want more that Elisha had? What if we wanted more of God's power? What if we wanted more of God's blessing? What if we wanted more of God's provision? What if we were to say like Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth even more than my necessary food? What if we said like David, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. What if we said like Paul, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What would happen to this church if every single person got a hold of this idea that Elisha expressed? So in our text, Elijah has reached the end of his, what I would describe as his service life. His ministry is about over. It's time for Elijah to go. It's time for someone to fill his place. This happens in this day and age as well. Pastors get old. Pastors lose their physical ability to do it anymore. Someone else has to step up and be ready to take their place. The younger generation needs to be able to say, just like Elisha, give me a double portion of your spirit. I want more. Now, God had already named his successor. Back in the end of the book of 1 Kings, we see that God had named Elisha to be Elijah's replacement. God sends Elijah to find Elijah. He was hard at work plowing his field, and as Elijah passed by, he simply placed his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha knew exactly what that meant. I don't see that there's any specific words that are exchanged here. Elijah just simply places a mantle on Elisha. Elisha stays back long enough to say goodbye to mom and dad, chop up the farm implements, set them on fire. He took the oxen that he was plowing with, burnt them on that fire, and he was done with his old life, and he was following Elijah. God didn't pull Elisha's name out of a hat. God didn't dig around and say, well, let me see who I can find. Let me find some. I got to find somebody. So I'm going to dig around and find, well, let's see here. There's a guy named Elisha. Oh, well, sounds a little bit like Elijah, so that'll probably work. It didn't happen exactly like that. God knew exactly what He was doing. He didn't say of Elisha, yeah, you'll do. God knew Elisha's heart. He saw that Elisha had a heart for him. And when the call came, Elisha was ready to give it everything that he had. What I hope to do in these next few minutes is get us to think that same way, just like Elisha said, that we would want that double portion of God's blessing and Spirit. So I want you to note something. First of all, the reality of Elijah's departure. Elijah's departure was certain. Don't know exactly how old he was, but it was time for Elijah to go. That part was certain. You see, every valiant saint that has ever fought in the Lord's army eventually has to lay down their sword. And it's time for someone else to fill their place. The departure is certain. You can think of different great Bible characters such as Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Gideon, Peter, Paul, John, and a host of others. Where are they now? They've all gone on. Their departure was certain. They served God for their time, but then they had to go, and it was time for someone else to step up and fill their place. We can think of preachers that are of some notoriety, like Spurgeon, Moody, and Billy Sunday. Those men served God, but their departure was certain. Someone else had to step up and take their place. Yesterday's victories don't win tomorrow's battles. This message does not have an age limit, by the way. This is for everyone, old and young, but especially our young people listening. I want you to listen carefully. Elijah had to depart. Someone else had to take his place. So the question then, who's going to take Elijah's place? Who's going to take Elijah's place? Paul was trying to get Timothy in this mindset when he wrote these words. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. No, Elijah's departure was certain. But Elisha's departure was necessary. I don't know if you caught this, but Elisha had to depart as well. The Bible tells us that they left Gilgal. This was Elisha's home. Elisha had to leave his home in order to follow Elijah. With Elijah's departure at hand, Elisha had to be willing to step away from what was familiar at home and follow to a place that was unfamiliar. That can be scary. That can be a scary thing to do, walk away from what's familiar to follow God's call. But if you would have a double portion of God's blessing, sometimes you have to be able to face walking away from home to follow God to the next duty station. Sometimes that might mean leaving home, leaving a church family that you know maybe you grew up around. Maybe it means following God and leaving some friends behind as you go to a new place. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about Abraham. It says that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, but notice that he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham was called on to leave home, a familiar place, in order to follow and obey God. Every single generation will age out at some point. The younger generation has to get a hold of the vision that Elisha had in order to step up and be ready to take over when Elijah has to depart. So the reality is, Elijah had to depart. What's the response to Elijah's departure? I like this. We note that Elisha says, "I will not leave thee." Elisha was committed to following, no matter what. So Elisha responded in four different places. He responded to Elijah in Gilgal, where he was at home. This is, we've already mentioned this. This was the place of comfort and familiarity. I'm willing to follow away from home and familiar surroundings. Next, we find them in Bethel, the house of God. The house of God. Sometimes we're called on to leave the familiar place of service to a new place of service. Then he follows to Jericho. Now, Jericho is most well known when Joshua marched around it and the walls came tumbling down. That part we know, but Jericho didn't just cease to exist then. Jericho was still a city that was functioning. And the name Jericho means place of fragrance. It was a comfortable place to do business. It was a comfortable place to come and open up a shop and buy and sell and trade. And then Elisha had to follow on to Jordan. The River Jordan is known as the Descender. If you have a map of Israel, you see the Jordan River running pretty much splitting Israel into running straight down. It descends to the Dead Sea. And there's a valley on either side. If you were to come to the Jordan River, well, in modern times, we have boats and different things that wouldn't make crossing the Jordan River so difficult, but not so much back in Elisha's day. Elisha comes to the Jordan River, and it's a barrier. It's an obstacle. So Elisha responds in four different places, and we see Elisha responding with four different statements. Not really so much four different statements. It's the same statement made four different times. Elisha said to Elijah, "I will not leave thee at Gilgal." The call was there to follow. And he says, "I'm not going to leave thee at home. I'm going to go with you. I'm willing to follow away from the familiar surroundings of home." Elisha says, "I will not leave thee at Bethel." house of God. I'm not going to stay here in my comfortable padded chairs if God is calling me to a different place where there's hard wooden chairs to sit in instead. I'm willing to follow away from Bethel. I will not leave thee at Jericho. But I have a good job. I have health insurance. I've got a car. I've got these things. I won't leave you at Jericho. I'll give up the good paying job. I'll give up the car. I'll give up the house. Whatever I need to give up to follow the call of God. Last of all, I will not leave thee at Jordan. Again, the Jordan River is going to be an obstacle for him. And it probably looked impossible to cross. I don't know what we're going to do here at the banks of the Jordan River, but I've come too far to turn back now. I'm not going to leave you even here. Let me take your attention next to the different groups of people that met Elisha and talked with him. These were an encouraging bunch of young men. They were cheering Elisha on his way as he was going to serve God. Not exactly. We're told that the sons of the prophets met him at Bethel. They discouraged him. At Jericho, they distracted him. At Jordan, they distanced from him. Each time this group of young men that were, they're called the sons of the prophets. We could liken them to seminary students, Bible college students. These were men that were supposed to be training in the things of God. They meet Elisha, and what do they say? Did you know that Elijah is going to be taken away from you? What are you going to do now? And I'm sure that they said it in just that voice. I listened to the recording. They weren't all that encouraging as Elisha was trying to obey and follow God. In Psalm chapter 1, there's some familiar words that we read. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When we read these verses, we tend to think of staying away from those that are unsaved, those that are ungodly, those that live a horrible lifestyle. But you know what? Sometimes there can be Christians that perhaps aren't as mature in the Lord as they ought to be, that can be discouraging. You've got a vision from God of what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to follow Him, and there's other people that come, well, you know, how are you going to do that? There's a whole lot of things here that just don't make sense. I'm not sure that you should probably do that. Maybe you should stay here. It's the sad truth. But sometimes even Christians can be very discouraging to those who are sold out to God. Next, let's notice the request before Elijah's departure. Notice the robe. the mantle of Elijah. They're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, the sons of the prophets. They're watching from a distance to see what's going to happen to Elijah and Elisha. They're holding back. They've watched them come to this obstacle. Let's just watch and see what happens. Now, this last group of people, we don't have words recorded of what they might have said or among themselves, but we know what the other two groups of men said, so we have a pretty good idea of this last group of young men. There wasn't a lot of encouragement that they had offered, and likely these Jericho prophets weren't much better. They were just going to watch and see if the Jordan River stopped them. You're going to come to rivers that are going to stop you in your tracks, and you're going to wonder how in the world you're going to get across as you follow God. But we remember the words of Jesus where he says, with God all things are possible. So the robe, the mantle of Elijah. We read that Elijah takes his mantle, spins it up like you might do with a bath towel, hits the Jordan River, and what happens? God miraculously provides a way for them to walk right across on dry ground. You know, the mantle of Elijah wasn't necessarily anything super special. Just a robe, a cloak, something that you would put on over your shoulders to keep yourself a little bit warm. Nothing too special. It was an ordinary thing. And God did something miraculously with the ordinary thing. The Bible is full of different examples of ordinary things doing something extraordinary. Let's think of a couple of them. A smooth stone in a shepherd's sling. Just a little rock. God guided that stone right to Goliath's forehead. God took down the giant with an ordinary rock. We could think of Jonah and a whale. Nothing super special about this whale, but it swallowed Jonah, and in so doing, Jonah's heart was changed. Jonah was spit back up, and he went and preached to Nineveh. And there was a revival in Nineveh because of a whale, just an ordinary whale. We could think of a feeding trough. Nothing super special about the feeding trough. Animals came and ate their dinner from this rough feeding trough, but that served to be the crib of the king. And we can think also of an ordinary tree cut down, put in a hole in the ground. The ordinary tree held the Savior as he suffered for you and I. God uses extraordinary things. You might think that you're nothing special. Don't buy that idea for a second. God uses ordinary things. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. In 1 Corinthians, we read these words. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God uses ordinary things and ordinary people. But He can only do it if you will allow Him to. So let's get to the good part. Let's get to the request that Elisha makes. Now Elijah had said to Elisha, "What would you have me do for you before I go?" If it were you or I in that position, can you think of something that you might ask? Some of us might be tempted to ask for money. I mean, hey, if the offer is open, can I have $1 million? Or some of us that are a little bit more spiritual might ask for a bigger church with a bigger attendance, bigger offerings. We might ask for a name that would be recognized. We might ask for prestige and fame. But those are not things that Elisha asked for. Elisha simply said this, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." More than anything else, more than money, more than wealth, more than fame, more than a great big audience listening to my words of wisdom, I want a double portion of your spirit. What are some things that Elijah did? What are some things that he was known for? Here's at least a few. Elijah trusted God's provision during a famine. Elijah confronted the wickedness of an evil king. Elijah went up against the false prophets of Baal. And he demonstrated the power of God. Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord by himself. Elijah called down fire from heaven. He witnessed God's power through the wind, through the fire, and through the earthquake. Elijah brought a message of God's judgment to Ahab and Jezebel. Elisha knew that, and he said, "I want a double portion. I want God to use me like He used you, Elijah." Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 38 says this, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt ask for a bigger bank account. Thou shalt drive a nice car.'" No. "What's the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Paul wrote in the book of Philippians these words, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." I think Paul had the same mindset that Elisha did. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then he says these words, "that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection." Are you getting the idea that it's important to be all about God and pursue Him more than anything else? This is the first and great commandment according to Jesus Himself. So Elijah hears this request and he replies in this way, "You have to see me when I go." I got to thinking about that. That's kind of a strange instruction to give. But maybe not so much. Think about how Elisha would have started behaving. Elijah has said, "What would you have me do for you?" Elisha says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Elijah then says, "Okay, but you have to see me when I go. When God takes me, you have to see me." So in order to see something, you have to help me out. You have to watch it. To see something, you have to watch it. You have to see it. You have to be looking. So the Bible says that they went on and they talked. Sometimes I have an overactive imagination and I imagine what this must look like. Elijah says, "Okay, you have to see me when I go." And then the Bible says that they went on talking. So I imagine Elijah's here. Elisha's walking just like this. He's watching right here. Not taking my eyes off of you for a minute. Are you focused on God? Are your eyes locked with His? Are you looking around to see what other people are doing and saying? If you want God's blessing on your life, on your family, and on your church, how focused are you on God? Now imagine what would happen if Elijah had said, you gotta be watching. You gotta see me when God takes me. You gotta see me when I go." Imagine what would happen if Elisha said, "I mean, it's probably not a big deal. Imagine what would happen if he was wondering, "Are those guys still watching across the bank on the other side?" And imagine instead of walking, watching Elijah, watching his every move, imagine if he's doing one of these numbers or looking back here, seeing if those guys are still watching him. He could have missed it. If our focus gets off, we can miss God's blessing. God spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses, and he said these words, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." And then he says these words, "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Don't turn away from it. Keep focused on it. Don't veer off course. Joshua then repeats those same words at the end of his life. He calls the elders of Israel together, and he says this to them, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." He listened to what Moses said, and he passes it on as he's ready to leave the scene. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was focused as well. He wasn't looking around at what other people were doing. It was focused straight ahead. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this, that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Elisha, if you want the blessing, you've got to be focused. He's got the heart. He wants that double portion of blessing. But you've got to keep focused. Then we know that the fiery chariots came and took Elijah away. And the Bible says in our text, back in verse 12, and Elisha saw it. He saw it. He wouldn't have seen it if he was looking back to see if the guys were still watching him. He wouldn't have seen it if he were just kind of looking down at the ground. He wouldn't have seen it if he'd not been purposely watching, concentrating on purpose. So if you were in Elisha's position, how would you answer Elijah's question? If Elijah were to come to you and ask you this question, what shall I do for thee? What would your answer be? Money, success, power, knowledge? Be honest with yourself. What would your answer be? You know, I'm afraid that many Christians draw an imaginary line that they will not cross. This is the line. I will do anything that you ask me to, but only up until this point. I don't want to go any further. Do you want a double portion of God's blessing? And are you willing to follow no matter what? I want to close by reading you the words from a familiar hymn. More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own. More of His kingdom's sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. You know the chorus, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Two groups of people. One group is the group that's the sons of the prophet that were ridiculing Elisha. And then here's Elisha, sold out, dedicated. I just want to know more about God. I want to know more about my Savior. Which of those two groups do you fit in? I made the comment that this sermon does not have an age limit. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can still have that same attitude that Elisha had. I want to know more. I want to have more of God's blessing. These great men from the past, they did some amazing things. I want to do more. But especially my young people here, get this vision that you want to be like Elisha, know more about God, be more sold out to Him, be ready to go wherever He calls you, be willing to do whatever He tells you to do, be willing to learn more about Jesus. Daniel, I'm going to have you come at this time and finish up, please.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Weaver. That was a tremendous message, something that has helped me personally. And thank you for bringing out those truths, the truth about Elisha. What is your desire? Are you pursuing God with all your heart? I like, Brother Weaver, how you brought up those stops along the way as he's following Elijah in Bethel and Jericho. They got the Jordan. Because as we go through life, we're going to have different situations, different circumstances, but in all of that, we need to pursue God above all else, no matter what we're in, and keep our focus on Him, keep our focus on God. So thank you very much, Brother Weaver. I appreciate that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll go into a time of invitation now. And we do want to, very, very importantly and very briefly, do want to give the opportunity, if there's any here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know that you're saved, that you're going to heaven when you die, it's impossible for you to pursue God as Elisha did without that. That's the first step. That's very important. If you are not prepared to die and stand before God in judgment, if you don't know what's going to happen to you with that, we'd like to just give you the opportunity for us to pray for you. And so if there's any here who say, I don't know that I'm saved, what's going to happen after I die, if you would raise your hand, we'd love to pray for you and help you with that. If there's any here like that at all, I just want to give that opportunity out. All right. Very good. Not seeing any hands. So, Christian, for you, what is your desire? What are you focused on? This life is all about God. We're here for such a short time. It's so easy to get distracted with the Jerichos, the comfortable life, the comfortable job, and maybe God will bring you to Jericho. If God brings you, there's nothing wrong with being there. But what's your focus? Is it on God? Pursue God. What about the Bethel? Are you at the Bethel? You're a comfortable place. You're serving God. You're in a good church. Maybe God's going to call you to move on to somewhere else. Are you willing to pursue God in that situation? And to be like Moses said to Joshua, you know, or what God said to Joshua after Moses died, now therefore arise. You know, God has something else for you to do. Are you willing to follow and pursue after God? Right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this message that we've heard. We pray that you work on our hearts and bless this time of invitation now. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. So we'll turn to page 465. We'll sing Draw Me Nearer, page 465. The Lord work with your heart.